But men, their songs employ, their songs employ wild fields and floods, wild fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy to the world, the
greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. For one reason. Because Jesus came one day. Amen. Not did he just come, but he lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen. So thankful for the Lord Jesus this morning. Let us stand as we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
O come all ye faithful.
Come, let us adore him. bless you richly this morning. A very Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. I know it's a little early, but I probably won't see most of you on Tuesday, so I thought I'd go ahead and wish you that. And we've got a thank you that we want to read. It says, God shows his love through the warmth and the kindness of special people like you. Thank you and God bless. We so appreciated your prayers and love expressed to us at the passing of Brother Wade's mother. God bless each and every one, Brother Wade and Sister Heidi Byerly. So, amen. We appreciate that. And certainly, amen, our heart goes out to them at this time. Any of you that's lost a loved one, you know what that's like. And when someone else does, we, you know, the Bible said that we rejoice with those that rejoice and we grieve with those that grieve. So, amen. We want to just announce one more time, we won't have a youth Bible study this month, so keep that in mind. No youth Bible study the end of this month, but we will, Lord willing, the end of January. And then we got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. I want to remember Brother Lance Pruitt not feeling well this morning, and Sister Sarah Peister and Megan also not feeling well. Sister Jennifer Soderquist not feeling well. And then have a prayer request here. It says, please pray for salvation and healing of Teresa Weddle, a good friend of Brother Patrick Dabney. She's feeling sick, so I want to remember her in prayer for those needs. And then also, the wife and I ran into Brother Don Marsh. Some of you maybe remember him at Kroger the other day. And I didn't recognize him at first because he's lost so much weight. And he's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And ask that we remember him in prayer. So certainly want to remember him in prayer. This morning we know God's able to heal cancer. Yes. Amen. More than able. So we want to remember him in prayer this morning. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each and every one. Brother David Eplin, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Thankful to be here this morning on the time that we know celebrates your birth, Lord, and it's just so thankful that you came, and we would be nothing without you. We ask you, Lord, to help us not keep you in that manger back there, Lord, but to keep you in our hearts first and foremost. And Lord, this time of year, there's people sometimes that their hearts are open where there aren't open before, Lord, and we'd ask that you work through us, Lord, if there be the opportunity that we can help lead someone that needs you to you, God. And about these requests, Lord, Brother Pruitt and Sister Peister and Soderquist, Lord, we ask that you touch them. And for the Brother Marsh with the cancer, Lord, we know you can heal cancer, Lord. We've seen it. I've seen it in my own family, Lord, that you've healed cancer. And I thank you for it, and we're trusting in a miracle, and we're trusting to hear a positive testimony come out of this. And for the service today, Lord, we ask that you open our hearts to hear what it is you have for us today. And we thank you for it. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. I'd like to say Merry Christmas to all of you. Just remember the saying that Jesus is the reason for the season. Exchange your gifts, do whatever you're going to do, but try your best to keep him in your mind and in your lives. This morning I've changed the psalm, so flip on back farther. We're going to read the 98th. That's 9-8. I think I've done this for about the last 3 or 4 Christmases or Christmas Sundays. We read this one. So the 98th psalm this morning. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory.
The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen.
He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth hath seen the salvation of our God. Sing unto the Lord with the harp, with the harp and with the voice of a psalm. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the world and they that dwell therein.
Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together.
Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. God bless you. Please be seated.
The brothers would come at this time. Appreciate Brother Layton reminding us of the reason that we've gathered here this morning. There's a lot of people, as he said, that know a man called Jesus Christ, but this little bride knows him as Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. Let's sing that this morning to him.
Thank you.
have any idea what Brother Nathan's going to bring this morning. We didn't discuss it, but I just felt led to sing this song. I can't sing it like he does, so I'm going to start it, and then he's going to come and finish it. Why did a little baby, why was he born in a Bethlehem manger one day? Why did wise men come from afar to see this infant? Why did shepherds leave their flocks? For one reason. The Bible says, Jesus said, I believe it's in Mark the 10th chapter, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was me. That was you. If you're lost this morning, you can be found before the end of this service. If you don't know this Jesus that we've been singing about and that we came to worship this morning, you can meet him personally. He's real. He's more real than that. I'm not preaching. We're going to sing. I'm sorry. But he's more real than that pew you're sitting on, Brother Jimmy. He's more real than those clothes you put on to come to church and dress up this morning. He's a reality. If you'll stand with us, let's sing this song. I'm just going to start with the chorus. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. Yes, he did. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. I leapt in so far, but Jesus was near. He rescued my soul and he called me.
Plans had moved forward to try to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Friends, I knew my destruction was just a matter of time. Then my Jesus walked in, said, Satan, this boy is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm. You see, he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Jesus was worse again. Old Satan had already picked out my grave. His plans had moved forward to try to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus stepped in, said, Satan, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from my heart, 'cause he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. Thank you, Lord. He came looking for me. Oh, he made a way. There was no way. Oh, I drifted far. Jesus was near. He rescued my soul. Safe from all harm since I met the Lord. Oh, let's sing it one more time together. I don't know where he found you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He's worthy of it. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. I don't know where he found you. Maybe he found you somewhere backslidden in church. Maybe he found you on a bar stool. Maybe he found you out somewhere with your priorities all mixed up. But the main thing is he found you.
Amen.
Amen. He found you. Now he's brought you, seated us together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. There was nothing in us that could inherit it or deserve it, but he came looking for us. Amen. We didn't go looking for him. He came looking for us. And then something within us, you might say, oh, I sought God and I sought God. The only way you could seek him is if he sought you first and put something down on the inside of you that would desire for more of him in your life. If you've got that desire this morning for more of God in your life, maybe you're backslid as backslid can be. Maybe you've been a church member and you've been trying to serve God the best that you can be for 20 years. Maybe you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're saved, but you haven't got there yet. Whatever condition you're in this morning, if you have a desire for more of God in your life, then I believe there's hope for you.
Amen.
Amen. Regardless of your condition, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your situation, if you have a desire for more of God, there's more of God to be had.
Amen.
You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I've served him for 40 years, and I feel closer to him than I ever have. But still, it seems like there's just something. There's more of God that I can reach out and get than there's more of him to be had.
Amen.
Amen. God doesn't place, he didn't place a fish down here and put a fin on its sides to swim around with and say, sorry, there's no water for you. You have that desire, but there's no water. He put the fin on the fish because there was a way to fulfill the desire.
Amen.
Amen. So if he puts a desire in your heart, if you're sick this morning and you desire healing, there's healing to be had.
Amen.
Or he wouldn't put the desire in your heart. If you don't have the Holy Ghost but you desire it, then there's the Holy Ghost for you, because God wouldn't have placed that desire in your heart if it wasn't possible. You say, but Brother So-and-so taught it this way, and I just don't see how my circumstance and my background, so I don't see, I don't care how Brother So-and-so taught it. Amen. If you have a desire this morning, the Word said, amen, it's for you and for your children and for all those as many as the Lord our God has called.
Amen.
So as long as God's still calling, there's hope for you this morning.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, musicians. If you turn with me into the Word this morning, the last few Christmases, I haven't gone a very traditional Christmas route, and so this year maybe a little bit more so than normal. We'll look into the Christmas story, and we want to pick up to begin with and read a few verses in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and then we'll follow through and
read some more verses from that chapter after you're seated, if you want to hold that place in the scripture. St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." My, what a message to receive from an angel. Amen. If anybody ought to know if the Lord's with us, it should be an angel. And he comes and tells her, "You're highly favored, and the Lord is with thee." Amen. Amen. What a message. What an encouragement. I don't know about you. It encouraged me if an angel walked in this morning and said, "Hey, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee." But, you know, the thing that's a blessing to us, you know, the New Testament wasn't written here when Mary is receiving this visitation. She didn't have 1,200 and something tapes and message books, but, you know, I don't have to have an angel, as far as a celestial angel, come down, or a seraphim or cherubim come down and say, "Hey, you're highly favored and the Lord is with thee." I've already got something that tells me that. Amen. I've got something that, if we can just accept it in that way, that we already have the word. Brother Bram said he loves us. He doesn't show his love by how much monetary things we have, or our blessings or things like that, our prosperity. He said he shows his love to us because he said he loved us. Amen. Amen. So whether you feel loved, whether you feel blessed, whether you feel like you're happy this morning and healthy, whatever it is, God has said all these things about you if you'll just accept it. Amen. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach a very familiar scripture, Lord, every Sunday school child present here this morning no doubt has heard the story of St. Luke's gospel telling us about the birth of Jesus Christ and how it came to be. But Lord, may it not just be another gathering together on Christmas Day, Lord, knowing that there's some here, Lord, that are visitors that have traveled from different areas of the nation, Lord, and some that, Lord, are visiting from other assemblies, some that are visiting just because, you know, it's Christmas and it's what to do with their family. But Lord, may you just come on the scene this morning, and may this be more than all of those things. May it be more than just a trip to church. May it be more than just a going through of a motion, of a tradition that, well, I guess if we're going to come to church any time of year, I guess it should be Christmas, and when it's all about Jesus at Christmas, or it should be for the Christians at least. But Lord, may it be more than that. May it be more than just an annual duty or a weekly duty or a biweekly duty, whatever it is to somebody. Lord, may it be something that'll settle in our hearts, that'll give us a deeper faith and more love in our hearts for mankind, Lord, when we realize how great your love was to us, that you would condescend down, you would come and give yourself to save us, Lord. Oh, help me this morning, Lord. I recognize that there's many needs represented this morning. Maybe some sitting here and with financial needs, maybe some with marital situations that they need help with, Lord. Maybe some with spiritual needs and deliverance and victory over temptations or addictions, Lord. Maybe some sitting here with healing needs for their body and sickness in their bodies. And Lord, whatever the need, Lord, may you just help me to get myself out of the way so that you could minister to those needs and encourage your people, that we could walk out of here closer to you than we were when we came in, Father, we pray. And we'll give you the glory and the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. An old familiar story. We've heard it many, many times, but I think it'd do us good to listen to it again. And maybe the Lord will just lead us down a path that may be a direction that you've never thought of it exactly that way before, but you know, when the angel came to Mary and he tells her this, some of us in our mind, we think maybe, oh, how could she be troubled in her heart by this saying? How could her mind wonder and be confused about what manner of salutation this would be. Here an angel comes and he tells her that God is with her and that she's highly favored. Why would that confuse her? Why would that trouble her? But yet we find that Mary, as she goes along and she finds out more, she doesn't do like so many of us do and say, well, you know, she doesn't blame everybody else in the country and say, well, you know, I would believe that I could do this, but, you know, my parents did this and the pastor did this and this family member did this and this one did that. And because of all these things, you know, because of my education or because of my ability or whatever excuse, you know, I can't perform this. But once she catches a revelation of this, that the angel is not just telling her something, just some fanciful story, once she's able to identify this scripturally and recognize that this isn't just some strange off-the-wall thing that I'm being told, but there's a scriptural foundation for this, Mary's complete attitude changed very quickly. Now, some of us, it might take days or weeks or months or years or generations to catch up to this point that she gets to in just a few moments by revelation. Now, initially when she comes, and we read it in the King James, it says when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. But I want to read a few of these verses from a few different translations this morning. One is the Amplified. And then some of the verses I want to read from the Woost translation. Some of you may not have heard of that before, but Brother Branham references it several times in the Church Age book and quotes several verses from the Woost translation in the Church Age book. And then also the Lamza, which Brother Branham refers to Dr. Lamza many different times. And he met him personally, said he was one of the most spiritual men that he'd ever met. And how that Dr. Lamza and him Brother Lamza was amazed at Brother Branham's teaching on the Godhead, because he said that went right back to what the Jewish people believed, and even their emblem for God, showing the triunity of three attributes in one God or three offices in one God. And Brother Branham said that the translation didn't contradict the King James at all. He said even though sometimes translators contradict one another, the words actually in the text and the revelation of it didn't contradict. But I want to read this verse that we've just read, verse 29 from the Amplified, because it kind of breaks it down a little more for us, and I like the way that it describes it. It says, but when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. Now, she's had a visitation from an angel, Brother Hoover. Something supernatural has taken place. An angel has come and spoke to her and told her God's thoughts about her. Right. Hey man, you sit there staring at me like you haven't had the same thing done in your age. An angel of God comes and tells her what God thinks about her. God's thoughts, what was in God's thoughts way back in the beginning, his thoughts of her. From before the foundation of the world, he begins to declare the thoughts of God to this virgin girl. But when she sees him, instead of being excited about it, instead of embracing it as truth right away, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. You realize there's people that have walked away from the message, and many of them still in the message, that are right at this place where Mary is. An angel has come to declare something and to tell them the thoughts of God. But instead of being excited and just embracing and say, oh my, to think that God could use a gift to look back in the mind of God, God's thoughts about me back before the foundation of the world. And instead of accepting it as life and encouragement, they're troubled. They're disturbed. They're confused because they read so-and-so's website and they said this about it. And they've got questions and they become confused and they keep revolving in their mind over this. Well, brother so-and-so said it this way. And my pastor said it this way. And this other brother from another state said it this way. And I'm confused and I'm troubled and I'm disturbed because it seems like one has one opinion and another has another opinion. And she began to revolve these things in her mind.
And the angel, with, you know, she didn't tell the angel that she was disturbed and troubled and confused. But an angel, there's something about it. God gives angels wisdom. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary." How did he know what was bothering her? Said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Now the Woos translation says, "And the angel said to her, stop fearing." I like that. Stop fearing, Mary, for you found favor in the presence of God. I would like to say this morning, we'll look at it. Brother Branham says this statement many, many times. He says, oh, how we need Marys in this age. He said in Minneapolis, Minnesota, he said, how we need in Minneapolis Marys that'll take God at his word. Amen. Amen. That's what I want to look at this morning. Take God at his word. And the angel said unto her, stop fearing, Mary. I'd like to say unto all the Marys here this morning, I'm not talking about if your name is Mary or if you're a girl and you can relate and imagine and place yourself in Mary's shoes. I'm talking about anybody that has that spirit that Mary had that is willing to take God at his word this morning. Stop fearing, Mary. Amen. Stop worrying so much. Amen. What did Brother Stephen say? Don't be afraid. How did he say it? Do you remember? Brother, not Brother Stephen Soderquist, Brother Stephen Cabina.
Calm down.
Calm down. Yeah. Calm down. We worry about everything in this age. Uh-huh. The problem with most of it is that we spend more time on the news websites or the news radio channels or the news television stations than we spend in the Word of God. And I'd like to say this morning, you know, I met with Brother Stephen Soderquist for lunch recently. We got to talking about how everything, just everything on the news. And then I had to go and send him a link later that day and say, well, I did find one good news article today on Fox News. They had a thing about a little girl that had several sisters had texted us the link. And there was a little girl that had an inoperable tumor that they had given her up. Doctors had given her no hope. And then all of a sudden, the inoperable tumor was gone. And the doctors can't explain it. And they're calling it a Christmas miracle. And that made it all the way to Fox News. I thought, well, there is some good news that still trickles all the way up the chain to national news, I guess. But the majority of it that we read is all bad news. And it doesn't matter which party you're for. It doesn't matter which your favorite news program is. All of it. Negativity constantly. And in this age, shouldn't surprise us that there's so many uproars around Christianity and so many uproars around the message, and people will divide and criticize over any little petty little thing that they can come up with in their mind. And everybody gets in an uproar about any little thing, and church splits over all kinds of things. And some of it you look at and you say, a church split over that? Really? You know, I've seen some churches that you thank God. Well, maybe they're, because of all that was going on, maybe the church needed to be split. And then you see sometimes when somebody splits over such a little bitty thing, over somebody dedicating a baby that somebody else didn't think should have been dedicated, or over somebody, you know, dividing over some little interpretation of the scripture that one saw it just a little bit this way and the other one that way. And church splits over things like that. And you think, goodness gracious, how can it be? And then you pick up the newspaper, for those of you that still get a newspaper, as Brother Trevor said, and you look and you recognize, oh, well, everybody's in an uproar about everything. Amen. You know, we live in an age where it doesn't matter what you do, somebody's going to make an issue about it. No matter what you say, they're making issues about Christmas songs now that they're not politically correct. And, you know, 5 years ago, they played the same Christmas songs and nobody complained. But what is it? This generation is getting weaker and wiser, and now everything offends everybody. You can't say anything without offending somebody. Well, I thank God we don't go to a church that cows down to that kind of garbage. Amen. Amen. I thank God that we still, you know, we don't hate homosexuals, but we still preach against it. Amen. They're trying to make that a hate crime now. Even in our own state, I heard, they're trying to pass laws to make it a hate crime to preach against homosexuality. Well, you know, we've preached against alcohol, and we've preached against lying, and we've preached against adultery and all these things for years, and nobody called it a hate crime. It's just a sin like all the rest of it. Amen. Amen. I know there's some people that they can love the alcoholic and they can love the drug addict and they can love the prostitute and the adulterer and they can love all these others, but they can love the liar and they can love the thief. But when it comes to homosexuals, they can't love them and extend an arm out and say, hey, I'm praying for you. And it's just a spirit on you, just like all the rest of this. And just as much as the drunk or the liar or the thief can be delivered, you can be delivered. Amen. A lot of people don't think God's that big. Oh, alcohol. Yeah, he can do that. Even though Alcoholics Anonymous says once an addict, always an addict. Oh, I've seen God cure that. But when it comes to homosexuality, we think sometimes God just isn't that strong. You just don't know my God. Amen. We put God in our little box that, well, I'll allow him to do this, and I think he can do that, and I've seen him do this, so that's okay. But these other things, oh, no, that's too much for God. No, I don't hate homosexuals. I don't fear homosexuals. I don't have a phobia about them, but I do believe it's a sin, just like a thief or a liar or a drunkard or anything else. Amen. Maybe that'll put me in jail one day, but I'm going to keep preaching it. You say, what does this have to do about Christmas? Take God at his word. Take God at his word. Amen. They're trying to say now, I saw an article the other day, people trying to say that, oh, the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality. I thought, what Bible are you reading? Maybe the Queen James Version, but not the King James. Amen. The Bible said it was an abomination. Amen. And we harp on that, and that's okay. We believe that. But he said a lot of other things were abominations too. Amen. Sometimes we need to go back and read the book a little farther. We have our little pet peeves and our pet doctrines, but he that's guilty of the least is guilty of all of it. Amen. We believe in taking all the word, not just our favorite parts, not just the parts that really get us riled up and we want to talk about, but we want to take all of God's word. The problem is many times we take everybody else's word instead of taking back and saying, what does God's word actually say? What does the Bible actually say? What does a vindicated prophet in this age actually say? And we set up other absolutes of our imagination of, well, brother so-and-so is my absolute, or my own opinion is my absolute, or my daddy's doctrine that I was raised under, that's my absolute. I want to say this morning, away with all of that and back to the Word. Back to the Word. Not some personality, not some granddaddy, not somebody's opinion, but what does the Word say? Amen. We have to have a foundation. If the angel would have come to Mary and just gave her some little tinkling story to itch her ear and say, oh my, this is just going to be so wonderful. And God's going to bless you, Mary. And God's going to do all these wonderful things. And oh, if you'll just come and my, if you'll just do this and this and this, Mary, it's going to just be wonderful. And she could have said, well, what scriptural basis do you have for that? We're beyond the scriptures. The Bible, that's just something that gathers dust on our shelf. We don't really go back to that law of Moses and things like that. She would have had a right to stand right there and say, you're a false prophet and a deceiver. But when he could show her plainly in the word, hey, this is an opinion. This isn't just he said, she said. This isn't off the cuff of my sleeve. There is word for this. Then she had no right to question. She had no right to disagree. That's why I wonder, and I scratch my head so many times at people falling away and saying, oh, we don't believe this anymore. We don't believe water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. We don't believe serpent seed anymore. We don't believe the true Godhead anymore. We don't believe all these things. We're going to this kind of church or that kind of church. And I think, why? How could they see those things and then unsee them? And they say, well, that was just the words of William Branham. And I think, my, what Bible have they been reading? Because I don't have to go, now I did to catch the revelation of it. Amen. Without the message, I'd still be baptized and wrong. I'd still be probably sitting and listening to women preachers like some of you used to. And I'd still probably be doing all kinds of things because without revelation, the dead letter didn't do me any good. But once a prophet came, now I don't have to play you a tape to show you predestination. It's right here. Amen. You can look into the book and see predestination as plain as the nose on your face if you got any revelation at all. I don't have to take you to a tape tonight. Still, don't get me wrong. Don't get scared, some of you visitors this morning, and try to think I'm trying to take people away from the tapes. I'm trying to show you that the tapes had a scriptural foundation that we could believe in. Amen. If Brother Branham had come and just said, hey, I'm a prophet, and because I'm a prophet, thou shalt do this and thou shalt do that, and we do away with the Bible, we don't need it anymore, but I've got all these other ideas, we would have a right to question that, just as we would a Mormon Bible or a Koran or something, because they were written by one man, and you know, that man's opinion or whatever he thought his supposed revelation was. But we have a book in this age that, although it was written by many different authors, we find that the continuity of it, even though it was written by many different generations and for thousands of years, that it's, the continuity is perfect, because ultimately it was written by one person. Amen. Amen. God, the Bible says that those Old Testament saints wrote the scriptures as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And so now we have a prophet of God in this age, a vindicated prophet, that he didn't just come and say, hey, burn your Bibles, we don't need those anymore. He said, let's go back into the scripture and get some more revelation on this topic or that topic. And he didn't just get up and make it up. He was constantly tying us back to the scriptures. Amen. As Brother Trevor has been teaching us on the Church Age book, if you want to find out really, in a nutshell, the doctrines and things that we believe, go back and read the Church Age book, and you'll never hear Brother Branham say, this is my opinion, or I think this, or just the revelation that was given to me is this, but he'll constantly give scriptural reference after scriptural reference after scriptural reference, and you'll find about a third of the book is just scriptures. Amen. I can go back to a foundation like that and say amen. We have a foundation that we can go back to. But if we're not careful, we get caught up with, well, the news said this, and you know, there's famine coming, there's earthquakes coming, there's pestilence coming. Hey, I could have read you that out of Matthew 24 without buying a newspaper. Amen. Oh my, there's plagues coming, and there's all kinds of terrible things, diseases and things coming, and people are going insane, and my goodness, they're out here on drugs that's making them think that they're zombies, and they're doing all kinds of crazy things. Hey, I could have read you that out of Revelations without having to pick up a newspaper. I'm not condemning newspapers. I'm just telling you, don't spend more time in that than you do in the Word, or you'll start to get a very dreary outlook. Amen. And you'll get very depressed very quickly, because everything is somebody killed somebody and they don't know why. They can't figure out why, because they're insane. Because they're going insane out here. We can't figure out a motive. They just went into the school and shot up a bunch of people. We can't figure out why, because they're insane. Amen. Brother Bram said, if the world lasted, it would go into complete insanity. I want to say, except for the bride of Jesus Christ, it's right there on that razor edge where it's going into complete insanity. All you got to do is pick it up and read. Oh, this one molested this one, and this one raped this one, and this one killed that one, and this one did this, and all kinds of terrible things, and this political group did this, and that political group's in an uproar about it, and so they did this, and now that political group's in an uproar about it, and all kinds of depressing things that are going on. The doctor says, don't eat this year because it's bad for you, and then the next year they'll turn around and say, eat that because you need it. And then they'll say, don't drink this because it's terrible for you. It's killing people. It's giving them heart disease. And then the next year they'll turn around and say, hey, we proved scientifically that you need that to strengthen your heart. And so people are constantly in fear. Should I do this or shouldn't I, Brother Layton? Should I take this or shouldn't I, Brother Hoover? Brother Jerry, should I eat this or shouldn't I? Brother Jimmy, should I drink this? Is it going to kill me or is it going to save me? I don't know. Is it going to make me live to be 100 or is it going to stunt my growth? And we're constantly in fear. Oh, don't travel because of this threat. And don't go to this city because there's a bomb threat. And don't go over here because of this and that. And we're constantly, if we're not careful, living in fear. And an angel comes and says, Mary, stop fearing. Amen. Take God at his word. Amen. Brother Branham says it this way in Jehovah Jireh, 1956. Quit being scared. Just take God at his word and start walking on. Believe him with childlike faith. You say, Brother Nathan, that is so simple. That's right. It's so simple that most people look right over the top of it. And they've got to figure it out. And they've got to do works. And they've got to do what Brother so-and-so said. And they got to come this way. And they got to live this way because their neighbor does. And they got to do this and that. Quit being scared. Just take God at his word. Oh, but Brother Nathan, I'm afraid if I go over here, I'd offend this brother, and I'm afraid if I visited over there, Brother so-and-so would think I was a make-believer, and if I did this, I'd be that. Quit being scared. Amen. Just take God at his word. Amen. St. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, all he's come and said is that she's highly favored, that she's found favor with God, that he's with her, and that she's going to conceive and bear a child. And as Brother Hoover stole my song for the end of the service, they're going to call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. The translation being God with us. Didn't say some minor prophet or some little child that the father spoke forth and sat on his lap and the son is going to be with us. The interpretation was God with us. Now we recognize that flesh, they could beat it and they could spit on it and they could crucify it and it could die. So it wasn't so much that the flesh body was just God. Although the blood of God beat through that heart and ran through those veins, the creative blood of God, as Brother Trevor showed us, I believe it was last Sunday night, how the creative blood of God was placed in this body because it had to be the blood of God that was shed for us. But it wasn't just enough for him to put some clay together and slap some clay and run some dialysis to run some blood in through this body and do some things like that. But what did he do? God himself steps into that body. Not a portion like the day of Pentecost, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily steps into that body. And he became God with us. What did Brother Branham teach us? God above us, God with us, and God in us. Three different attributes of the same God. God the Father up there in a spirit form in a different dimension. God the Son, same God, just a different attribute. In a flesh body down here with us to save us, to give himself as a sacrifice. And God in us, the Holy Spirit, dividing himself on the day of Pentecost. Same God, same works, same attributes, not another person. Mary says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now he's saying this to Mary. He's saying this to one individual person. He's talking about the physical body of Jesus Christ. But I want to say to the Marys in the audience this morning, I can say the same thing to you. Because of what happened back there on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Amen. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Yes. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. Not a physical child, but the Holy Spirit being born in you. You packing deity on the inside of you. People get all scared of the deity spirit in this age. They just didn't take it far enough. They want to say that Brother Branham was deity. Well, I'll take that to a certain point if you'll say that me and Brother Layton and Brother Hoover and all these Holy Ghost filled people are deity too. They just want to put all the fullness on him, but it didn't happen that way in this age. The Holy Ghost divided himself on the day of Pentecost, and he had a portion, and you've got a portion, and I've got a portion. If we've got the Holy Ghost, Brother Bam said, what is it? God in you, walking on 2 feet. Amen. 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 Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Oh, we could stop there for the rest of the service, probably, but because the time will move forward in a moment. But let me just stop there for a minute and say, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And yet we try to tie God's hands in this age and say, well, God, you can work as long as you work in the medium and in the form and in the through the person that I'm comfortable with. You can work with God. Nothing shall be impossible. Amen. As we looked at Wednesday night, he spoke through a donkey one time. He'll speak through, he'll work through, he'll do through anybody that he wants. But even, let's not just limit it to that, but nothing is impossible with God. You say, well, the doctor said, I don't have no hope, Brother Nathan. As I talked to the brother the other day, he said, the doctor said a stage 4 cancer. And he said, the chemo almost killed me. I had to come off of that. He said, they don't give me any hope. But he said, I'm still holding on to the promise. I said, you just keep holding on. Why? Why would you do that when the doctors say there's no hope? Are you crazy? You think you're smarter than medical science? I'm taking God at his word. That he said nothing is impossible with him. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. That's why I laugh when I hear people say, oh, so-and-so has an incurable disease. I'd say, oh, the doctor might say it's incurable, but they don't know God like I know him. Why? We've taken God at his word. We've proved him at this. All things are possible. That's more than just a song to the bride. I know it's something that we sing before we put on a tape. All things are possible. Only believe. The man told Jesus, Jesus asked him, said, do you believe? He said, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. You say, I don't know, Brother Nathan, my family situation is pretty dark. All things are possible. The doctor said there's no hope. All things are possible. My finances are so in the negative, I don't see how they could ever come out. All things are possible. But I've waited, Brother Nathan, and I did. I read the words of God. You remember Brother Branham on a trial there in Tampa and in Jeffersonville and different places. I think Shreveport, he preaches a trial or the trial or just trial. And he puts these men on the stand, Mr. Make-Believer, Mr. Unbeliever and Mr. Impatient, or Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Unbeliever and Mr. Impatient. And they would go and they would read the Word of God just the same way that we do. But they would look at it and they would think, well, you know, that was for some other day. Or they would try to believe in it. But, you know, they waited 3 weeks and they didn't see any results. So they just got impatient and they thought the Word was just of none effect. But, you know, there was a man named Abraham one time. He waited for 25 years. Brother Hoover and I were talking to a family there. Our brother Wade introduced me to a brother when we was up in Hagerstown. And I'd never been to Hagerstown. In fact, I pronounced it Hagerstown. Shows you how much I knew. But when we was up in Hagerstown, the brother there, how many years had he waited for a child? Wasn't it like 14 or 15? 15 years? 15 years they waited for a child. But God gave him a child. Amen. We got Sister Savannah here with little miracle. 7 years they waited for a child. But God gave them a child. None of them waited as long as Abraham, 25 years. And the Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't have the scripture that Mary had, an angel coming and tell her, for with God nothing shall be impossible. But yet God had spoke to him and he took God at his word. And he believed those things that were not as though they were. And we claim to be the seed of Abraham, and we get prayed for, and our shoulder's not better in 2 days. And, well, I guess I just didn't have faith enough, Brother Nathan. Or I guess the brothers that were praying for me just weren't anointed enough. Or I guess God still doesn't back up his word like he did back in 1959. Oh, my. Impatience many times. Brother Bram, what did he say? Sight and time are the two greatest enemies to God. Sight and time, because we keep looking at those symptoms. Oh, look, Brother Layton, it's not any better. Look, Brother Hoover, it's been 3 months and it's still not any better. Sight and time. And Satan uses that to work on us. Oh, you claim to be a believer, but you're still struggling with this and you're still struggling with that. Sight and time. He's always trying to eat away at us. But take God at his word this morning. Amen. The Woos translation says, for in the presence of God, no word shall be impossible. No word shall be impossible. That means when Isaiah said a virgin shall conceive 800 years before, and medical science laughed at him and said, this man is out of his mind. Never has been done in all the history of the world. Absolutely impossible. My, you can talk evolution. You can talk whatever science you want. What this man is saying is absolutely, completely unscientific, completely impossible. But no word shall be impossible for God. And maybe his congregation held on real strong for about 40 years. And they said, bless God, we believe that prophet. All mine, and every little girl that went to his church, my, she was getting ready. She had her mommy teach her how to sew so she could make herself some little booties and some little onesies and some little threesies and whatever for the little child that was coming. And years went by, and a virgin didn't conceive. And that whole generation died off. But they had got some testimonies together, you know, for the next generation. And they said, I was sitting right there in his meeting, Brother Hoover. And I saw how God used that man. And I saw how God anointed his ministry. And Isaiah was a true vindicated prophet of God. And I believe it, whether I see it in my generation or not. And they passed those testimonies on to the next generation. And the next generation said, hey, I had some eyewitnesses that was there in the meeting, Brother Jimmy. And they saw the things that happened in the prayer line with Isaiah. And they saw the vindications. And they saw. So we're holding on to that word. Because my daddy sat right there. in 1959. I mean, back there in Isaiah's day. And they saw it happen. They held on to it. And then the next generation, they went to pass it on to. They didn't have an eyewitness. They just had, well, Daddy said. And he was there. And it kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And now 800 years later, maybe there's not many people really holding on to Isaiah's prophecy anymore. If they do, they've got it all figured out intellectually the way that they think it is. But in the presence of God, no word shall be impossible.
Amen.
You realize when we look into the scripture, some of the words that God brought to pass that seemed absolutely impossible at the time. We could spend all day just going through stories of things that prophets said and prophesied of that seemed impossible for their time, and in many places didn't even happen in their time. David could stand there and say, they pierced my hands and my feet. And when he died and went off the scene, somebody said, I thought he was a prophet. And here he said, they pierced my hands and my feet. I went down to the casket when they buried him down there in Jerusalem. I went to this tomb, and before they placed the sarcophagus on his casket, I looked inside of there, and his hands and his feet were just as clean and just as slick and just as healthy as mine. Not a scar, not a piercing, not nothing. They didn't realize, and many times in the message, we don't realize, many times when a prophet speaks something, it sounds like he's speaking of himself, but he's speaking of a future event to happen that maybe the Holy Spirit's going to do through somebody else, or that the Holy Spirit's just going to do, or whatever it be. And David said, they pierced my hands and my feet. But he was speaking of a future coming. And Jesus says, "All my a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but the only sign that will be given him is the prophet Jonas." Talk about unscientific. A man that was placed in a whale's belly for 3.5 days. 3 days and 3 nights. And he comes out alive. And Jesus says, that's the sign that you'll be given. For the Son of Man will be in the grave. And he knew within 72 hours corruption set in. And that David, the same man that said they pierced my hands and feet, said that there would see no, that his body would see no corruption. And so he knew he had to come out of there within 72 hours. On one scripture, he placed all of his credibility, all of his claims as Messiah. He placed it all, Brother Lee, he placed all of that. And he steps out on a limb and he says, within 3 days, destroy this temple and I'll raise it back up. And they thought he was talking about the bricks over there of Solomon's temple that had been rebuilt during the time of Ezra. And he said, within 3 days, off of a prophecy from a man that most of us would have lost confidence in him. Here he is. He didn't just commit adultery with a woman. He comes around and has her husband killed. And then he goes and marries her and the baby dies. And now he has another son with her and he becomes king. And Jesus places all of his credibility as Messiah on one word that David said. I'll not see my Holy One to see corruption. I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. But with God, no word shall be impossible. Because he recognized that that wasn't David speaking in the first place. Amplified version says, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Amen. That's why I hold on to the promises. Amen. We've seen him too many times come, and we've proved him at his word. And so now we can take God at his word and say, Lord, you did all these other things, so I'm depending on you to do this. Whatever it is, maybe he healed you before and you got sick again. Hey, the same God that healed you last time, his word is just as strong and his arm is just as long to reach and get you and pick you back up again. Take God at his word.
Amen.
Now, Mary, there was something about it when he begins to describe to her what's going to take place and how that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. Now, he doesn't go in this specific time. Gabriel, at least as far as we can tell by scripture, he doesn't go back and quote Isaiah's prophecy verbatim to her. But he tells her what's going to take place, how that she's going to conceive and that the child that's within her, she'll be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Now, Isaiah didn't exactly give us all of the detail that the angel Gabriel is, but all of a sudden, Brother Branham dramatizes it and said maybe that Sabbath, the priest had got out some old scrolls of Isaiah and he began to read them. Maybe they hadn't read them in years and he dusts them off and he said, a virgin shall conceive. And there was something about it just struck her down on the inside. Maybe like the first time you heard, who is this Melchizedek? And Brother Branham said, when you recognized that this was eagle's food that you was feeding on, that you heard from your theophany, and something just anchored down on the inside of you, and you said, I'm identified with that. Amen. I can recognize that. There's something about it. I feel a pull from another dimension agreeing with that with my soul, saying, hey, there's something over there. I have an attribute. I have identification. I have representation over there that agrees with that statement. Amen. Something about it in her when he said this, she said, Joseph. Maybe she elbowed him in the pew like some of you sisters do your husbands when I get on certain things, you know. And she said, Joseph, did you hear that? He said, yeah, we'll talk about it later. They got home and she said, honey, did you hear what he said? He said, yeah, I wrote it down. Let me get the notes here from the sermon. And he reads her Isaiah's prophecy back. She said, honey, I know it's been 800 years, but there's something down on my soul that tells me it's just about time for this scripture to be fulfilled. I don't know how, I don't know when, but something down on the inside of me says that these scriptures are true. She took God at his word. Now an angel comes and visits her and he says, Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and that holy thing that's going to be born of you is going to be the Son of God. And something anchors down the inside of her and she says, oh, that's Isaiah's prophecy. That's what he was talking about. A virgin shall conceive. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was going to do the complete work.
Amen.
Amen. Not some kind of sensation, but he was going to do the complete work right within her. Brother Branham said that was one of the mysteries of this age. The Holy Spirit without sensation. I know a lot of people quote it without emotion, but he never said it wouldn't bring emotion. No doubt Mary got a little emotional running down the road to tell Elizabeth about what had just happened in her life. Amen. But the Holy Ghost without sensation. And here the Holy Ghost begins to do a work not only in her womb, but in her heart. She begins to realize that's what Isaiah was meaning. That's Isaiah's prophecy. No wonder it meant something to me. No wonder I could anchor my faith on it. No wonder I knew this was the time. And she changes from how can these things be? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.
Amen.
What a change from fear and doubt and trouble and worry and confusion to be it unto me according to thy word. You know, that gives me hope for a lot of people today.
Amen.
But maybe they just haven't had that revelation click in their heart that, oh, wait a minute, if this is so, then that is so. And if this is in the scripture, then what Brother Branham said is absolutely right. And all of a sudden it changes from how can these things be, Brother Hoover? Squirrels and angels in a cloud and all that. How can these things be? All of a sudden it clicks and they say, be it unto me according to thy word.
Amen.
Be it unto me according to thy word. Woo's translation says, may it happen to me according to your word. Oh, Mary, you say Mary that he just told a moment ago, stop fearing. May you catch in your heart when you read these scriptures, not just about the Holy Ghost, although we certainly want it for that, but when you're sick in body and you read those scriptures about healing, don't just think, oh my, isn't that wonderful how God did that with the brass serpent back in Moses' day? Or, oh, isn't that wonderful how St. Paul and these men, Peter and John, could go down to the gate called Beautiful and God could do back then? Or, oh my, if I could just be in a prayer line back in 1953. But when you go and you read across these things and you see how God spoke and did these things back in Bible times and how the Bible days are here again, that God would speak again in this age through a prophet and tell somebody all about their problems and that they could walk off of the platform completely healed. Don't just read that as though it were somebody else, but let it drop into your heart and say, may it happen to me according to your word.
Amen.
Lord, let it happen to me. Lord, if you could do it for somebody else, may it happen to me according to your word.
Amen.
Believest thou this? 1950. Brother Bram says she didn't wait till she was positive she was going to have the child. She didn't wait till she felt life before she said anything about it. She started right away testifying, telling people that she was going to have this baby when there was no sign of it yet.
Right.
He said, God, give us some more Marys.
Amen.
Many times we say, oh, well, I got prayed for in the prayer line, but I don't want to bring a reproach, Brother Hoover. So what I'll do is I'll wait about 6 months and I'll go back to the doctor and then we'll see. And then if I'm a little better then we'll share just a little, you know, one line testimony with the church. And then we'll go back in another 6 months. And then if the doctor says then we can really know that we're really, truly healed. What did Jesus say? The Greeks seek signs and the Jews seek wisdom.
We're always looking for proof. We're always looking for, well, once I see it, then I'll believe it. Can you imagine if Abraham had said that? Well, Sarah, the angel said this, and once I see, you know, not just because you're eating some more desserts and things, but once I see some real change in your body and your stomach begins to get to the point where I recognize I can hear the baby's heartbeat up against your stomach and I can feel him kick against my face when I press my face against your stomach, then we'll know that it was an angel of God. Then we'll know that God's word, oh my, be it unto me according to thy word. He said, God, give us a Mary. She didn't wait till she was 9 months pregnant. She didn't wait till there were signs of life. She didn't wait till the baby was kicking. She didn't wait till the baby was moving around. She runs down the road to tell her cousin Elizabeth because the angel said, hey, something supernatural has happened to her too. And she goes running down the road. She knocks on Elizabeth's door and Elizabeth comes out. She looks like Mary did a few minutes ago, tired and weary and fearful. Because see, the angel spoke to her husband too and said that she'd had a child. But now 6 months later, there's been no movement. It's subnormal, abnormal. Brother Bram calls it subnormal, I think. You know, and the baby hasn't moved. No life, no movement of life. And that little bit of fear is beginning to creep in. She comes to the door all weary. Oh, Mary, how are you today? You just don't know what I've been through, Mary. You just don't know the trials. Here, my own family making fun of me. My husband can't speak. He's got to write down what he wants for breakfast. Oh, Mary, you just don't know. The baby hasn't moved. I've had all kinds of morning sicknesses and evening sicknesses and midday sicknesses. And Mary says, oh, but Elizabeth, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something that happened. You know that angel that visited Zechariah a few days ago? He came and he spoke to me and he said that Isaiah's prophecy is going to be fulfilled in me. And oh, by the way, he said that we'll call his name Jesus. Amen. Brother Ram said that was the first time that name had ever been spoke on mortal lips. First time it ever been spoke on mortal lips. And something leaps within Elizabeth. Oh, she said, whence comest the mother of my Lord? Because she said, just as you said that name, there's something, as Brother Hoover sang this morning, there was something about that name, Mary, that when you spoke it, life began to leap in my womb. She didn't realize it at the time. It wasn't just natural life, but the Bible said he received the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Some of the Pentecostals say you got to speak in tongues to receive it. I don't know how he spoke in tongues in his mother's womb, but that doesn't mean we're against speaking in tongues. We believe in it because it's part of the word, but we don't believe it's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. We believe it's a gift like anything else. Amen. Oh, Mary, whence cometh the mother of my Lord? As soon as you spoke, this stillborn child in my womb, this dead baby in my womb began to leap for joy and rejoice. You know, there's something about it. The name of Jesus still has effect on people. There's still healing. There's still power. There's still victory in the name of Jesus. She went right away testifying. You know, I was reminded in reading this of the story Brother Branham tells about blind John Ryan there and how he came to the meeting. Brother Branham said he was a Catholic and he needed something to anchor his faith on. He came through the prayer line. Brother Branham prayed for him. He said, do you believe? He said, I do. He said, then go and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. The man walked off the platform, said he came back around the next night, said, sir, I don't understand. Said, you told me that I was healed. He said, I don't understand. You told me that you believed. He said, sir, I do believe. But he said, I can't see any better than I could the night before. He said, you just go and you start testifying. You know, there's something about it. Paul said that our confession or profession, he's the high priest of our profession. Brother Bram said that same word, profess and confess, is the same word. He's the high priest of our confession. Brother Bram said in one place, he said, God will make your body obey your confession. So if you want to go around all day and say, oh, I'm so sick, and oh, I got prayed for, but I'm not better, and oh, I tried to go to the altar, but I'm just as lost today as I was yesterday, and oh, I've sought the Holy Ghost, but I guess there's just no Holy Ghost for me. You better be careful what you're confessing all the time. Right. Amen. But he said, oh, he said, you go and confess. Thank God for healing me. And so he said, he started going through there. He said they could hardly have service that night. Every time Brother Branham started to say something, John Ryan raised up in the back. Thank God for healing me. Everybody be still. Thank God for healing me. Said he went on like that for a few days everywhere he'd go. Thank God for healing me. Said he got there and the old barber thought he was going to make fun of him, put the shaving cream on his face to lather him up. He said, "Oh, John," he said, "I hear you've been down here selling your newspapers and your pencils and things, and you've been telling the people extra, extra. Read all about it. Thank God for healing me." He said, "Oh, John, surely you don't believe that." He said, "You know, that man's just a mental conception or something." Or they said, "You don't really believe that, do you?" John said, "Oh, yes, I do. Thank God for healing me." And his eyes came open. What did he do? He took God at his word.
Right.
Many times we take God at our symptoms. Lord, if you'll just make my symptoms better, Lord, I'll have faith. Have faith and your symptoms will get better. We get the cart before the horse. Lord, if you'll just do something, I'm waiting on you. And God says, "No, I already gave you my word. I'm waiting on you."
Amen.
Lord, be it unto me according to my symptoms. No. Be it unto me according to thy word. Ministry of Christ, 1953, and God had said so through his angel. Didn't make no difference what else took place. She was going to have a baby because she took God at his word. Again, believest thou this, 1951, God give us some Marys that'll take God at his word. If God said he'd heal you, believe it, that's all. Take him at his word. He said he'd give you the Holy Ghost. Get down there and stay till it comes. Believe it.
Amen.
Take God at his word. Stop looking at your symptoms. Stop looking at your circumstance. Stop giving the devil all the glory and telling everybody about your symptoms and your circumstances. But take it back and say, "I take God at his word. I don't care what anybody else said. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to take him at his word. Be it unto me." Let it be personal to you. Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. We fast forward 9 months in the future. This isn't quite 9 months yet, but it's telling us about what's going to take place. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram just took us through that. If God was his father, the Holy Ghost was his father, then what took place? We recognize same person, same God, different attributes. Woo's translation of verse 18 says, the source of that pregnancy being the Holy Spirit. He goes on in verse 19 in the Woo's translation to say, however, Joseph, her husband, being a conscientious, law-abiding man, and yet not proposing to make her a public example, after mature consideration, desired to dismiss her secretly. Now, doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound nice? He didn't just do this rashly. He wasn't just some fanatic. He was conscientious. He was law-abiding. He wanted to stay with what the law of Moses said. And so he wanted to put her away privately so it wouldn't make a big scene, wouldn't bring reproach on her. So maturely, he considers this with mature consideration. He sat down and he looked it all over and he intellectually said, well, look, the word says this and Mary says this And he sat down very maturely, very soberly, very intellectually, figured all out the word of God and what he should do. And he was absolutely contrary to what God's will was. You see, that's what we do many times. Oh, very maturely, very soberly, very conscientiously, we sit down and with much consideration, we look it all out and we weigh it all out intellectually. We say, well, 1 and 1 is 2 and 3 and 3 is 6, and we put it all together, and well, I believe that it's going to be this way, and this is what the word says. And what do we do many times? We have the cow up on the roof eating grass out of the chimney, and it's a mess. Why? Because we maturely considered being so conscientious and so wise and so intellectually smart in the word, and we tried to put it all together, and God just laughs at it and sends us a prophet to put it all together the way it should be.
Amen.
But many times we sit down and we try to figure it all out and put it all together. We're going to maturely just consider this and study it out and work it out. You know, that's wonderful, but all the studying you can do, if you don't get on your knees and ask God to give you some revelation to it, it's just going to make you a puffed up, head knowledge, something intellectual. But when you get down and you say, Lord, I can't put all this together. I can't put all this together. I need you to come and I need you to show me. All of his mature consideration didn't do him a bit of good. Wasn't the answer. But God, rich in mercy. Amen. I thank God that all my mature consideration, all my studying, all that, you know, it would have never got me anywhere. But God, rich in mercy.
Amen.
So after all of his planning and his studying and his intellectual figuring out, now, while he thought on these things in verse 20, back in the King James, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Here he is again telling people, stop be afraid. Stop being afraid. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice how God's working on both ends of the line. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Lamza says it a little more personal. Our God is with us. Amen. I don't want to put him back, just as Brother Hoover said this morning, I don't want to put him back just in a manger or on a cross or on the sands of Galilee. But I believe we can say tonight as well, our God is with us.
Amen.
You say, how can you be so bold to make that claim, Brother Nathan? Because he promised me in his word that he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I take him at his word. I take him at his word. I'd be scared to get up here in front of a group of people and try to say something if I didn't take him at his word that he promised when I got up here, he'd be with me. If he promised that when I got out from under the anointing and I was discouraged and depressed and felt like I didn't do a bit of anything, that he promised, I'll be with you, even in you, till the end of the world. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Our God is with us. You think of it, how long-suffering the angel was, how long-suffering that God was to send him. That he comes and he doesn't just tell Mary and just leave it up to her that, well, Mary, you figure out how to convince Joseph. But he comes along, and even when Joseph is questioning, even though he's got the same scriptures that Mary does, it's not a personal revelation to him yet. And the angel comes and gives him a dream and says, Joseph, thou son of David, don't be afraid. Don't worry about your prestige. Don't worry about how it looks. Don't worry about what people are going to say. Don't fear to take unto thee Mary thy wife. I wonder if he comes sometimes to say to us, don't worry what that person on the pew beside you thinks. Don't worry what your neighbor at your house thinks. You just worship me and praise me any way that I lead you to. You do whatever I tell you to do. You take me at my word. Fear not.
Amen.
He said, that which is within her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And this was to be to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. Now Joseph has the revelation too. Oh my, you know God works on both ends of the line. Somebody was telling me a few weeks ago about a situation where they had prayed and they had felt led. Brother, they were telling me and Brother Hoover, I think at Applebee's, that they had been praying about a situation about how to school their children and things, and God had told them years before of what to do about that situation, and they wasn't even married yet, and they got married, and their wife had a completely different opinion and completely different idea of doing it, and they didn't get up and say, well, bless God in this house, we're going to do it my way, or there's the door. Uh-oh. Quiet in here, isn't it, tonight? Or this morning. Maybe it'll be quiet tonight too, Brother Trevor. I don't know. Bless God, we'll do it my way, or you can pack your little ditty bags and get out of here. He said he went and he prayed. And he said, Lord, you told me that. You told me that before I was even married. And you led me to this wife and you did this situation. And Lord, you've got to show her. I'm not going to force her and I'm not going to force the kids to do it this way. You've got to deal with her. And he said, when he did, a few weeks later, she came to him and said, hey, this school situation just isn't working out, what we've been trying to do. She said, you might think I'm crazy, but I was praying, and God spoke to my heart. And she said what he told her, and it was exact word for word what he had told this man before they was even married. A lot of times we limit God. Oh, he did that to Joseph and Mary, but he couldn't do, oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still able. He's still able to speak. Many times the problem is we don't take long enough asking him and having the right attitude and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do about this. Lord, I've tried. I've tried with all my wisdom and my mature consideration and my ability and my knowledge of the scriptures. I've tried to present it and I've tried to show the word. And it's not helping, Lord. I need you to come on the scene. I don't just need to be able to quote it. I need you to come on the scene and put it into action in my home, in my family, in my own life.
Amen.
If he could do it for Mary and Joseph, he can do it for you.
Amen.
If Deep calleth into the deep, 1952. If there ever was a time the church of God needs some more Marys, it's today, taking God at his word. When God says anything, he means just what he said. Again, Witnesses, 1954. He says, for she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost truly overshadows a person, they take God at his word. You see people today running around, oh, bless God. Amen. Bless God. I believe this message and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I do this. And then when a situation comes up and they absolutely refuse to take God at his word, you think, well, I don't want to doubt your witness, but this is what the prophet said. When the Holy Ghost truly overshadows a person, they take God at his word. Well, it may not make sense to them intellectually, scientifically, they may not be able to prove it. But when they see God come on the scene and vindicate his word over and over and over and over and prove that what he said back here, he's still doing. And what he said over here, he's still doing. And then certain parts of the scripture, they just think, well, I just don't know. I've never really experienced him work that way in my life, so I don't know. Take him at his word this morning. Amen. Resurrection of Lazarus, 1953. Now, she didn't wait till she felt life. She didn't wait till she was positive. She just took God at his word. Don't wait and say now, when my hand gets a little better, and I'll believe it. When I can move my foot a little more, believe it now and start rejoicing. Amen. Hallelujah. Take God at his word. It'll produce just exactly what he said. Again, resurrection, 1953. Don't wait to see whether I can move this foot or not, or this arm or not, or whether this cancer looks like it's gone, or this heart trouble is any better. Take God at his word. Get a happy mental attitude towards it and start rejoicing. Oh, there's where most of us miss the mark. That's where most of us miss the mark. We walk around like we've been eating sauerkraut and chewing on cigarette butts or something, and walk around with a face that looks like you're ready to fight somebody or enough temper to fight a buzzsaw, as Brother Branham said. You walk into church, bless God, it's Wednesday night and I made it. I fought the devil and I got here. Looks like you need to fight him a little harder. Amen. Get a happy mental attitude towards it. Bless God, I'm praying for my children, Brother Hoover. You just wouldn't believe the way that they are and the way they disrespect me. And bless God, oh my. Sometimes I just want to get a happy mental attitude about it. Oh, Brother Hoover, my husband, I've tried to get him to church, and he's just as stubborn as an old mule, and I tell him, and I rebuke him, and tell him he's out of the will of God, that he needs to come, and here I am, the wife, and dragging trying to do all the spiritual part, and trying to drag the kids to church, and I go there, and he won't listen to me, and get a happy mental attitude about it. Amen. It sounds like a Joel Osteen sermon, but this is the prophet. He said, get a happy mental attitude about it. Brother Branham said it many, many times. You go back and look at it. He said the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. But many times we come in, oh, well, Brother Hoover, I know God's word said it, but I just don't know if I have enough faith. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise. Oh my, I'm praying for my children to come in. I'm applying the token, but they've run so far and they've done so much. I just don't know. The right mental attitude. A happy mental attitude. Oh, I may not see any change yet, but on the backside of the mountain, there's some work being done because I've took God at his word. Oh my, I may not have faith that Brother so-and-so has or that Sister so-and-so has, but I believe I've at least got that little bitty grain of mustard seed faith. And my Lord Jesus said that mustard seed faith could move a mountain. Amen. Amen. I'm not worried about moving Sinai or Rushmore. I'm worried about moving this mountain in my life of addiction, or this mountain in my life of a lost loved one, or this mountain in my life of cancer or diabetes or whatever it would be. I need God to move this mountain. Amen. Take him at his word and watch him do it. Amen. Take him at his word and go and have a happy mental attitude about it. You say, oh my, I'm still doing what the doctor said. I don't see any improvement yet, but I'm healed. Amen. I'm healed anyhow. I take God at his word anyhow. Amen. The longer it takes, the bigger testimony it's going to be. I'm taking God at his word. I'm putting a smile on my face and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell the world I'm healed. I'm going to tell my doctors I'm healed. I'm going to tell the lawyer I'm healed. I'm going to tell the banker I'm healed. I'm going to tell the postman I'm healed. Oh, they might make fun of you for a while, Mary, but give it a little time and they'll begin to see the fruits of your testimony. Jehovah of Miracles, 1959, he says, give us more Marys around here that can take God at his word and praise him whether you feel anything or not. You say, oh my, isn't that hypocritical, Brother Nathan? To tell somebody that my hand is healed and it still feel pain? To tell them that my arm is healed and I still can't raise it? To tell them that my back is healed and still walking around bent over? To tell them that I'm healed and still taking pills and shots and all this for my symptoms? Take God at his word and praise him whether you feel anything or not. Amen. Remember he said when he first came to the Lord and he was having all those stomach troubles and ulcers and things. And he said he'd go to eat. And he said when he did, he said the doctor told him he'd eat any solid food, it'd kill him. And he said, I told my mom, he said, go get me a big onion and some pinto beans and bring it in and some cornbread. And he began to eat it. And he said, once that hit his stomach, he said, we had a bouncing party there for a little while. He said, I'd put my hand over my mouth to try to keep it from coming out and swallow it back down. And he said, I'd break out in a cold sweat and get all shaky and everything. And he said, I was going down through the street feeling terrible, the stomach killing him, trying to come back up on him, sweating all over. And somebody said, how you doing, Brother Branham? He said, I'm wonderful. God healed me. Said, oh, that was a hypocrite, Brother Nathan. He said, no, I just wasn't looking at my symptoms. I wasn't telling them how I felt. I was telling them what the promise said. Amen. Take God at his word and praise him whether you feel anything or not. Take him at his word. God's trying to find somebody who will take him at his word. Amen. Amen. If the musicians would come this morning. Mary didn't wait till she had proof. She didn't wait till she had a doctor's order and an ultrasound and a heartbeat and all of that. She went and began testifying. The angel said this, and the prophet said this, and they match up just exactly. And I'm taking it not for somebody else, but I'm taking it for me. I'm applying it to my own life. Oh, if we could do that this morning. Lord, not for somebody else in some other age or at some other church or somebody in the pew next to me. But for me, Lord. How many slip up your hand and say, Lord, I want it for me this morning. I have needs in my life, Lord. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's troubles in your life spiritually. Maybe it's things that you've battled with, temptations, whatever it is. Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, I accept it for me, not for somebody else, but me, Lord. It's me this morning, Lord. It's my time this morning. I accept it for me. And I'll go forth from here testifying, saying, it's already done. It's a finished work. It's a victory. Take him at his word this morning. Lord Jesus, Lord, I believe this morning, Lord, not only did you say in your word that wherever two or three were gathered in your name, that you'd be present in our midst. Lord, we believe that you're here this morning because your word said so. But Lord, not only do I believe that we're surrounded by your presence, but I believe this morning we can look around in the congregation and see that we're surrounded by another group of Marys that's willing to take you at your word. Lord, no matter how impossible it seems, no matter how far things have gone, no matter what the doctor's report says, they're willing to take you at your word and say, it's a finished work. Everything that we had need of, Lord, you paid for at Calvary. Lord, we accept it this morning by faith. Lord, we accept it, not because the pastor got up and said it, not because we've intellectually read it and we can memorize it and quote it, but because your word said so, Lord, and we take you at your word this morning. We accept healing. We accept victory. We accept deliverance. Lord, we accept every good gift that you have for us this morning. Lord, we don't want to leave it for somebody else, but we want to take it down off the shelf and believe, Lord, it's for me. Lord, may we receive it that way, each and every one of us this morning. May we receive it for us. Oh, Lord Jesus. May we receive it for us. May it be something personal. Lord, no doubt many of us exchanging gifts with loved ones, Lord. Little wrapped packages of, Lord, maybe a sweater or a shirt or a scarf or whatever it would be, Lord, that we felt the other person might need. Just a little token of our love and our appreciation, just to show them we thought about them and we wanted to do something for them. But Lord, help us to recognize in all the gifts that we exchange back and forth, Lord, the greatest love gift that ever was when you came and you gave your life for us. When you came and you wrapped yourself in human flesh in a little manger in an old barn or stable in the side of a cave, you humbled yourself and you came to redeem us back from Adam's fallen estate, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us not to take it for granted. Help us not to just be another holiday or just another celebration of a gift exchange of packages, but Lord, help us to be mindful. Help us to remember what you did for us. Help us to remember that gift that you gave when you came. Lord, may it be something so personal to us that we recognize you came for me. Lord, may we recognize, Lord, that, and take you at your word that these promises that we read, they're not for some other day, but it's for us personally, Lord. May we receive it in that way. Give us the faith to reach up and take hold of your word this morning for each need, for each situation, each family, each individual, Lord. Give them what they need of this morning. Give them, Lord, the inheritance that they have, Lord, of your word. May they reach up by faith and take hold and anchor down regardless of symptoms or circumstance. May they go forth from here this morning testifying, I got victory over that thing today. I got healing today. I've struggled with something maybe for years, but I overcame it today. All the things I've been facing, the Lord gave me a peace about it today. May they go and testify. Lord, we believe that your word will bring it to pass. May they have a positive confession, Lord, of what you've done for them. May they take you at your word this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, we thank you for it, Lord. All, let's sing it together.
Live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Oh, let your word be born.
Is that your desire this morning?
Manger.
Why don't we stand and sing it to him this morning?
Oh, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, let it live in me. Lord, let it start. Live inside this.
Oh, is that your desire this morning? That he would come, that the word would be born, not just back in Mary 2,000 years ago, but in the manger of your heart, that he could come and make himself welcome.
Oh, Jesus, let your word be born.
Brother Ben, do you know those verses?
Oh, let it live in me. Oh, let it live. This house of clay and mold it every day. Oh, let your word be born in the manger.
Listen to Brother Ben as he leads us in the verses. Sing with him if you know it.
2:14. But if I'll just yield this vessel and let God have his way, from glory to glory, he'll change me day by day. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Let it start. Word to unfold. Oh, but if I'll just shield this vessel and let God have his way, from glory unto glory, he'll change me day by day. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me.
This morning,
let him be born in the manger of our hearts. Brother Ben was telling me as it came up, they were talking about singing that today. I had it in my notes to sing today. Brother Joshua started playing it, so good to see God working on both ends of the line. Amen. I was going to sing Emmanuel after that. Brother Hoover already sang that for us. So, amen. He's an on-time God, isn't he?
Amen.
Good to be in his presence this morning. Amen. I appreciate all the presents presents that we receive from people and that people give us. But his presence, presence, is so much more, oh my, than all the gifts we could ever receive, all that we could ever do, any place we could ever go. Just let me stay in his presence. Amen. Let's bow our heads one more time together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we can say, I believe this morning, it's been good to be in your presence. As David of old said, and Brother Branham quotes it so many times, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What a blessing to come out and celebrate. Lord, we recognize this time of year wasn't when you were born, but just a little time that we set aside to remember. The prophet told us that the exact day was gone, and nobody knows the exact date, but Lord, just to come and just to take a time to not so much a celebration, but a worship of and praise of all that you've done for us. Thank you for an opportunity to come out together as a group of believers, Lord, and just worship you together. Lord, we know in many nations, Lord, they can't meet like this. They can't come together and worship in the freedom that we have the ability to today. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, may it continue until you take your bride away, Lord. May we have an opportunity to meet together and fellowship together around your word. We love you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for, Lord, each person that's contributed to the service, those that raised their hands and clapped their hands, and those that sang, Lord, those that played the music and those that came and unlocked the doors, each and every one, Father, that had a part in the service. Some may say, well, I just came and sat in a pew. Well, even if they're just a lay member, shame on us if that's all that we do is just come and sit in a pew, Lord. But may we have a part, Lord. May we join our worship together. Lord, may we lift our hands to you. May we sing praises to you. We each have a part, Lord. May we pull on the gifts that you place in our assembly, Lord. May we do our part, Lord. Lord, may we, Lord, turn and greet somebody and shake their hand and smile to them, Lord, and tell them we love them, we're praying for them. We thank God for their life, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have a positive attitude. Help us, Lord, to have that cheerful attitude he talked about today. Lord, that we could have the right mental attitude towards our situation. Lord, some I know going through great trials and hard testing times, but Lord, I believe you can give us victory even in those times. I believe you can give us peace even in those times. I believe that you can give your children a smile even when things aren't going so good. Lord, you can still give us something to be happy about, that you cared about us enough to come and give your life for us. No matter what we're going through, we ought to be the happiest people, Lord, to know what you've done for us. Help us to take you at your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. He's good, isn't he? Amen. Let's sing this together. Not really a Christmas song, but I believe we can sing it every day. Oh, I am blessed.
I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am
this morning. I've never had a gift come as a post-it note before, but Brother Luke said, wings coming to a plate near you. God bless you. So we can say, glory, I am blessed.
Amen. Brother Luke makes some good chicken wings, for those of you who haven't been blessed to know that. But amen. Brother Stephen, I think, has something he wants to say, and then I'll make a few statements more in a moment here. But God bless you.
God bless you, folks. You can sit down for just a second. This won't take very long, but I was just thinking as I heard Brother Nathan pray and as we sang, the word that came to me was thankful. I know a lot of times we talk about Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving, but I just want to say I'm thankful for each one of you at this Christmas time. I'm certainly thankful for Brother Nathan and the different officers in the church. One thing I wanted to say, had a brother ask me, are your young people going to sing or do any play or anything this year? And I said, no, I don't think this year they are. And that got me thinking that, you know, many times we're so blessed by the young kids in the church singing or doing a play. And I would just like to encourage the parents to maybe be a blessing to your kids this Christmas. Obviously, the presents and things are normally how the kids are excited and blessed. But as a Sunday school teacher, I have noticed that our kids have come such a long, long way. And I'd like to say thank you to each one of the Sunday school kids in my class for participating, for studying hard, for learning God's word. I've been very encouraged by each one of you. And you parents, if you can, encourage those kids because they're doing a really good job. Well, we got a little gift for Brother Nathan. I got a little card from the church. I believe Sister Patty a lot of times gets Nathan some fudge too, so we didn't collect that from her. She's going to give that to him on her own, just like Brother Luke giving the wings. But we wanted to give Brother Nathan something to kind of give him a time of refreshment, some relaxation. So I got him a card and a little gift card to somewhere he likes to go. Also, my wife said to make sure that I spelled Rebecca's name right this year, so I'm 80% confident that I spelled it right. So if I got it wrong, I'll let the pastor correct me on that. But Brother Nathan, if you'd come, I'd like to thank you so much on behalf of the church for all that you've done, and I just hope that this is a good time in the Lord. For those of you that know, he has a cabin he likes to go to, and he usually comes back from that cabin with a good sermon. So I'm looking forward to a good sermon, Brother Nathan. God bless you.
And before I open this, you know, they talk about giving people birthday spankings, but maybe just a little Christmas spanking from the pastor before I open this. You know, I've noticed, and you know, I got to say, really, our church overall, we're blessed with a group that's very faithful. We've got a Wednesday night and a Sunday group that's almost as big as our Sunday morning group. Not quite, but I feel like comparatively to a lot of churches, we're blessed in that way. But I have noticed, and I think the Sunday school teachers have noticed as well, seems like there's been a big slack off of the parents getting their kids to Sunday school in time, to where really by the kids that we have in class here, the Sunday school rooms were getting to the spot where it was so full we were praying about actually adding another room and another Sunday school teacher. And then it kind of just seems like attendance has slacked off. So I would encourage you, don't take Brother Nathan's word for it. Brother Bram said, take your children to Sunday school. He said, don't send them, take them. Amen. I've got plenty of quotes like that I can share with you if you don't believe me, but that's what he said. So I'd encourage you, try to take your kids to Sunday school. I know our service is so early, Sunday mornings, you know, 10:30 for Sunday school and 11 for church, that it's hard for some of you to be here on time. I know. And I'll be praying for you about that, but try if you can to get the kids here for Sunday school at 10:30. But then don't expect the Sunday school teacher to do it all. Have your devotions. Amen. Talk to your kids about Jesus. Amen. Don't let the prophet's voice be a stranger in your home. Amen. Amen. Right. We believe in playing tapes at church. I play them here. But sometimes some of you are out of town or on vacation or working or whatever. When I play them at home. Don't just wait for the pastor to play them. Play them at home. Amen. Play them at home. I mean, I you know, no matter what anybody says about me, I encourage people to play tapes. I believe in playing tapes. I believe it's absolutely, you know, you'll grow better and you'll grow closer to the Lord if you're staying in the Word. But don't just play tapes. Brother Bram said, read your Bible and pray every day. Somebody said, oh, I don't read my Bible anymore. We came to the message, we don't read the Bible anymore. I thought, well, I wish they'd do what the message said. Because he said, if you want to grow, he said, you know, great big spiritual answer to a question. Brother Bram, how can I be a better Christian? Read your Bible and pray every day.
Amen. If we're not doing it, shame on us. But, amen. Didn't say you had to read the whole book of Leviticus in a day, but said read your Bible and pray every day. I'd rather you read, you know, three verses and really get it and it be a revelation and encouragement to you than read five chapters and say, what did you read today? Well, I read somewhere in Matthew, but I don't really know what it was about. Amen. I believe I like to read at least one chapter every day. I usually read about three chapters, but and I don't do that to be legalistic. I do that because I want to get closer to the Lord, and I want to learn more about Him. Amen. So, amen. I would encourage you, read your Bible and pray every day. Have family devotions with your children. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about this message. Keep the tapes before them. Keep an atmosphere in the home where they want to be a part of what God is doing this age. Amen. And bring them to Sunday school. And if we run out of room, we've got another room that we're getting ready to change and another Sunday school teacher I've already talked to. And so if we run out of room, we've got options for splitting up the age groups a little bit better for that. So don't let that hold you back. Oh, it's crowded in the Sunday school rooms. Keep them crowded and we'll make a change with that real quick, I promise. And so I would encourage you to do that. God bless you. Appreciate you. Amen. I don't want to just smack you on the hand this morning. I do want to encourage you and let you know we love you and we do appreciate you and a good, solid group of believers. We're certainly blessed. Thank you for the card. Yes, Brother Stephen, you spelled her name right. For those of you that don't know, Sister Rebecca's name is R-E-B-E-K-A-H, like the Old Testament spelling of Isaac and Rebecca. The New Testament spelling is R-E-B-E-C-C-A, which most people use, but hers is K-A-H. So, Brother Stephen, you're off the hook this time, buddy. It says, God bless you at Christmas. Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca, well, let me read the card part first, and I'll read that. Enjoy the wonder of the season with time to be refreshed in God's gifts of joy and peace. And there's a scripture that says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca, we are so thankful for a godly pastor and pastor's wife. We are very blessed by your service for this church. Thank you for keeping the word before the people, for your zeal for Jesus. May 2019 bring a time of refreshment and continued spiritual growth is our prayer. God bless you. We love you. Congregation of the Church of the Open Door, thank you very much for that. And then a gift certificate for two nights at the cabin that I try to go to and get away a few times a year and just study and pray and kind of redirect. And sometimes, you know, even pastors, we get busy in our priorities and things sometimes. So I'll usually go out there and say, Lord, you know, show me some ways that I can better manage my time and things. And a lot of times, a lot of the series and things that I've preached here, the Lord's gave me out there are different things that I usually come back in that next Wednesday night. Usually we just have a really good time. And the Lord, Brother Joel told me last time, he said, we need to get you to that cabin more often after the Wednesday night service. So, amen. I appreciate that. Appreciate your prayers for us. Appreciate the gifts. I want to say, and I'm trying to hurry. I know we're 2 minutes over. It's 1:02. But no, we don't try to watch the clock too much. But we've got some things, as you can see. I think there's plenty of oranges and candy canes for everybody, adults and the young people. And for the younger two Sunday school classes, we've got these little candy, little canes with some different types of candies in those, and the smaller oranges, they call them Smarties or something. What do they call them? Cuties. That was close. the little cuties for the little cuties. So. And so, yeah, some of them are Smarties, Brother Lane said. That's probably where I got confused. So we'll give those out as you come by. And then I would say for the for all of the Sunday school teachers and those that help out in the capacity of being a backup Sunday school teacher, or not to single her out, but Sister Anna May, you know, helping today, and just so that you know, she's the sister that Lord willing will be having for the added Sunday school class if the growth continues like it is to have that need. I want for her and Brother Trevor, the different minister brothers, Brother Arnie, Brother Layton, Brother Hoover, the deacon brothers, the trustee brothers, and the musicians. I felt to do something for them from the church this year, and instead of trying to figure all that up here as everybody goes by, if you all would just after service come to the basement, I've got a little something for all of you. I don't think I missed anybody, musicians, Sunday school teachers, deacons, trustees, ministers. I think that's everybody. If I miss somebody, then come downstairs and maybe I'll have a gift for you, or maybe I won't. But I'll shake your hand, and you can have a little corner of my note from Brother Luke, and maybe he'll give you one wing. But God bless you, and let's just have Brother Hoover, if you'd come and maybe dismiss us in a word of prayer, and then I'll have him sing as you come by and get the things. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in doing anything for Christmas. Well, you go back and listen to some tapes, and you see Brother Branham did this and had Sunday school gifts for the kiddies. He said in one place, he said, I've got a little boy that's still young enough to want a Christmas tree. And he said, I came out this morning and saw all the gifts underneath the tree from different ones. He said, how could I ever give back to everybody that gave to me? So I tell everybody, I've got a wife that's still young enough to want a Christmas tree. But God bless you.
Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we actually understand and know the reason behind Christmas. Lord, it's not some tree at Walmart. It's not some wrapped gift under a tree. But it's that you came and gave yourself to us. And Lord, we want to be obedient, Lord, to your word this morning. The pastor has preached, Lord, and it was more than just words, Lord, that he wanted to say to impress people that have come for Christmas. But Lord, let us take it to heart and let us take you at your word. Every word, Lord. Lord, if there's anybody in our midst that's in need right now, spiritually, physically, financially, may they take you at your word, Lord, and just believe that what you say is absolutely the truth. We ask that you would restore Brother Nathan's strength, fill him back up, Lord. Yes. Heavenly Father, we're looking forward to the service this evening. We just ask, Lord, that you would anoint our brother Trevor. And Lord, just pour your spirit out upon him and through him and speak to us again. Go with us this afternoon, all of our gatherings and things. Bring us back together tonight, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, elders come up here to the tables. I'll have one of the deacons, Brother Joel, if you'll come and dismiss by row. And yes, sir. And there's plenty for everybody, so even if you're a visitor, please come forward and receive your gift. Go tell it on the mount. Let's try it. Go tell it on.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills, every star of Bethlehem, shining afar to shadows dim, giving a light for those who long and dawn, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining.
To the